Reading from the fourth chapter of the epistle to the church at Ephesus, otherwise known as Ephesians. Tradition teaches that Paul wrote this when he was in prison. And so we begin with Paul's word, I. He writes, I therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So it seems in March of 2000, this 37-year-old pastor had a brilliant idea. You want to hear it? It's brilliant. Brilliant. There was a lot of division in his church. Can y'all believe there could be division in a church? That's hard to believe, isn't it? But there was a lot of division in his church, and he was at his wit's end. And he reached that point and made a decision, and a few days later, he was arrested for it. You see, what he decided is that his people needed a project to unite them. Have you ever seen that happen? A church gets a project in front of it and everybody starts pouring themselves into it, and the next thing you know, everybody's together and working and things are great, right? That's why one of the reasons we need ministry to do. So he concocted a plan to get his people unified, to get them all behind one project. He burned the sanctuary down. That's not a joke. That's a true story. He went to jail. But he got them unified. I can't tell you how many times I've heard the story about those poor chickens that built this sanctuary. In 1974, it was built on the butts of a bunch of chickens. For years and years, chickens were cooked across the road, for those that don't know it. And there was a barbecue held every year. People look surprised at this story. Y'all told me this story. It's right. Ann says they were good. Thank you, Ann. Somebody remembers. There was a unified purpose, something to head toward, that we would build a bigger sanctuary here so we can invite more people into this fellowship of Christ. That's a good project plan, isn't it? Well, that guy went about it the wrong way. Granted, and he got arrested for arson. But the gist of what Paul is telling us is the same thing he told us last week, that the work we've been given, the mission we've been given, is so important that we ought to be willing to give our whole selves to it. What could be more important than introducing other people to Jesus? Anything. Anybody know of anything more important than that? No? Me either. I can't think of a single thing in this world that's more important than one person who is dead in their sin knowing that they can have life through the Son of God. There's nothing more important than that. That is our mission, to make disciples. And disciples aren't people who come out of little candy cartons all plugged up and ready to go. They're young people and old people who think they have life all figured out, and all of a sudden they're confronted with something that hits them in the heart and hurts them, and they don't know where to turn. And somebody who belongs to Jesus says, "I know where you can turn." And the next thing you know, they find themselves in a group of people like us, being nurtured and taught the way of Christ, and they fall in love with Him and decide to serve Him because they see the humility of the body of Christ. They see a people who understand that they're not above all things, that Christ is an all in all, not us. That we're all sinners who need saving, that we're all in need of redemption, that we're all in need of the love and mercy of God that's known to us in Jesus Christ. They see humility. They see gentleness in a people who want to love God and love their neighbors as they love themselves, because Jesus, whom we love, told us to. Which means it's a good time to ask you again, are you still in love with Jesus, church? Does it still matter to you what we do? Is it still at the front of your heart to see other people fall in love with Jesus too? Humility and gentleness. Humility and gentleness. And in that one, I'm not real good at patience. I have patience to build things. I have patience to solve complex problems. But sometimes my patience with people wears thin. Any of the rest of y'all had that problem? But listen to what Paul says. Somehow in the midst of all that has happened, we've been given a calling to be people who are humble, who are gentle, who are patient, who bear with one another in love. I told the story in Sunday school, and I guess I have to tell it again, so some of you get to hear it twice. I was coming out of Pineville, down 21. And you know that place where it goes from two lanes to one lane? Y'all know that the right way to do two lanes to one lane is you don't slow down, you don't get in the left lane and block traffic forever. When you get to the point where it merges, you go together like a zipper on your pants. Y'all familiar with this concept? I had somebody in front of me who thought he was Superman going to block the whole right lane for 4 miles. Literally, almost 3 miles, I rode behind this goober who thought he was doing the world a service. And all he's doing is making traffic worse. I was not patient with him. I did not bear with him in love. I blew my horn at him till my hand hurt. I didn't tell him he was number one, though. I restrained myself from that. But I think about that as I think about this calling to be people who are humble and people who are gentle, people who are patient, and people who bear with one another in love. That is the calling that God has placed on our lives. The calling to serve Christ. The calling to tell others about Jesus means that we have to live like Jesus. And how did Jesus live? He lived in humility. He lived in gentleness. He lived in patience. And he lived by bearing others up in love. Think about it. When they nailed him to the tree and they lifted it into the hole, and he was dying and breathing his last, and his precious blood was falling on the author of the earth, did he say, "God, strike him down"? No. He said, "Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do." Man, that's the calling that's on our life. And you know what? I think that that's the tune we're called to sing. Remember, you can tune a piano, but you can't tune a what? Can't tune a fish. You can tell that joke at your parties. That's a good one. You can tune a piano, but you can't tune a fish. But we've learned that you can tune a people, haven't we? You can tune a people to the heart of Christ by telling the Jesus story and singing the Jesus story and living the Jesus story. We can change the hearts of the world. But it will be Christ doing it through us. It will just be the Spirit of God doing it through us. We will be but instruments in His hand. And Paul says, live a life worthy of your calling. That doesn't mean be perfect. It doesn't mean get everything right. It means be humble and recognize that you don't always get everything right. It doesn't mean come down on your neighbor in harshness and tell them they're going straight to hell so they'll be scared of God. It means be gentle and speak the truth in love to people and share with them that there's eternal life for them. And it means be patient with people and give them time to respond and hope for the same thing that you hope for. And it means bearing one another up in love. It means we can't say to someone, "I know you're hungry and starving to death, but we'll pray for you that you'll receive Christ and have eternal life when you die of starvation." It means that we bear each other's burdens, whether it's hunger or homelessness, whether it's a fire ravaging the house or a young boy that needs his cochlear implants. Whatever it is that comes before us, we attempt to bear it up in love, to bear each other's faults even. Because we don't all think the same, do we, church? We don't all act the same. We don't all say the same things. We don't all parent the same. We don't all do friendships the same. We don't all do anything the same. But if we'll do these four things the same, if we will practice together humility and gentleness and patience and bearing each other up in love, we, dear ones, can make the most beautiful music the church and the world has ever heard. How do we get tuned that way? Well, the first answer is to put our faith in Jesus Christ that He will do it. But there are seven ones said here, things that are meant to remind us that we are intended by God to be in unity, to make one tune, to make one song, to make one chord. We're to remember that we are one body. We are not factions. There is no Baptist church, no Methodist church, no Catholic church. There is only the church. In the eyes of God, there is only the church, only those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. There is only one body in the world. There is only one body of Christ, he says. And there is only one Spirit, the Spirit of the living God that comes to us to equip us to serve Christ, to bend and tune us until we make the right note. And there is only one hope, and it is the hope of our calling, that the world might know Christ, that we might know Christ. And there is only one Lord. We're not called to divide our allegiances between political parties and school districts or whatever other things. The worst ones are football teams, right? We're about to enter into the most divided time in South Carolina's life together. I've seen people quit talking to each other about Clemson and Carolina stuff. That's ridiculous. People in churches now. There's only one Lord. There's only one person who can hold our allegiance and our full allegiance, and his name is Jesus. Jesus of Nazareth, the Christ, the one who died and was raised, the one who was made Lord of all, who is in all and through all and in everything. And he, dear ones, is in you. He is master, not just our friend. He is Lord. There's only one Lord. There's only one thing worth giving our whole life to, and it's Jesus. And there's one faith. Not several bunches of little faiths, but one faith. One trusting in Christ to deliver the world. One trusting in Christ to make all things new. There's only one faith. And that doesn't mean there's only one religion or one denomination or any of that silliness. It just means that there's only the faith that God gives, and that faith is in Jesus Christ. Companion to the question, do we love Jesus, would be, have we faith in Jesus? Do we trust him to lead us in this time? In this time where Christianity is not the norm. In this time where the kingdom of Christ has become secondary to the kingdom of the world, even sometimes in the church's life. Do we trust Christ to lead us to be effective in this time? Do we trust him to lead us to something better, to a greater hope, in a world where all people are in Christ? And then he says there's one baptism, which means that you don't have a baptism and I don't have a baptism, but there's one baptism that we all undergo together. We are one in Christ because we are baptized into Christ. And then he says, there is one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. Do you get the pattern? There's one body, one spirit, one hope, one faith, one baptism, one Lord, one God. So the question that might have to arise for us then is, how can there be anything but unity? And that happens when we forget why all this is true. That our purpose is to make Christ known. And then some wily young pastor decides to burn a church down and remind his people why they exist. Hopefully it won't take that. For all of us today to remember that we exist to make disciples. To live in this world as a humble people, a gentle people, a patient people who love each other and love others. That's what a life worthy of our calling looks like. That's the music we're intended to make. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.